I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time 344. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
a crash that killed 24-year-old Adrian Hernandez Rodriguez in his front yard has been described by neighbors as carnage. Police say the car was stolen and being driven by a 15-year-old. KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard Bell.
Second, a polygamist leader is facing new child abuse charges. Samuel Bateman reportedly took wives as young as age 9. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
We do have some heavy and slow traffic southbound Highway 40 going between Summit and Wasatch County, and unusual delays on the southbound side of I-15 Clearfield into Farmington. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thunderstorm chances stick around through the weekend. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kristen Van Dyke.
We do have thunderstorms around 72 in Salt Lake City now. KSL's top national stories from ABC News.
Saying the government won't run out of money to pay its bills until June 5th, slightly later than their previous prediction, June 1st, Treasury Secretary Yellen in a new letter to Congress. Even more, perhaps, momentary optimism about the debt ceiling talks. Louisiana Congressman Garrett Graves, a negotiator for Republicans.
There are outstanding issues. We are not there. But I think we've, you know, really identified where the biggest differences are.
Urging supporters to peacefully protest tomorrow at the Texas State Capitol in Austin, State Attorney General Ken Paxton. The Republican-led State House of Representatives has set a historic Saturday vote to possibly impeach him. Ukrainian intelligence says Russian forces are preparing to do something in the coming hours at a big nuclear power plant in Ukraine to provoke an international investigation to give Russians more time to regroup. Two Army veterans who, with the Oath Keepers extremist group, stormed the U.S. Capitol January 6th have been sentenced to prison terms. Chuck Sievertson, ABC.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Now the in-depth on KSL. So Utah's team bidding on the Olympic Games is already finishing work on the future host questionnaire. That's a requirement from the International Olympic Committee. You got to fill out a questionnaire. And joining me live on the news line, Fraser Bullock, president and CEO of the Salt Lake City, Utah Committee for the Games. Fraser, what kind of questions do they put on this questionnaire?
It's a whole spectrum, and it's actually 35 pages of questions in that questionnaire. And it's all the way from things like our vision, our purpose, what we're trying to accomplish, to things like sustainability, because we have to have climate positive games, to how we're going to manage the operations of the games. And in addition to the questionnaire, we have 35 annexes, which have detailed plans like the Olympic Theater, transportation routes. And then we have guarantees we have to provide from the federal government, state and local government. It's a massive undertaking.
So here's the confusing part. I know that you have been hard at work at getting us the 2030 or 34 Winter Games for quite some time now. You've made any number of presentations. Don't they have this information already?
Well, no, we've done high level presentations of our vision and things like that. This is now all the detail to actually host the games. And we've been working on this. We're 95% complete. There are a few pieces left But this week, notably, our governing board approved this, what we call a bid file, to be advanced into the next step, which would go to the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee.
So there's an entire process that goes on here. They ask the questions are really granular, like how many times an hour do the buses stop at the Olympic venues, things like that?
Pretty close. It is like transportation times from the Olympic Village to all the Olympic venues. It is an entire schedule for the games, what we envision happening day by day, each venue, what competitions are going to be held, an entire competition schedule. It's really fun putting it together, but it's a tremendous amount of work.
You have a strange idea of what fun is. Basically, you're creating an entire Olympics, and then you're submitting the paperwork, not knowing if we're going to get the games. How are you feeling about that? Does it look good at this point?
I think it looks really good. I have an extremely high level of confidence that we'll be awarded either the 2030 or 2034 games. The IOC and the entire Olympic movement understand how strong a bid we have. The public support, the political support, all those things go into making an incredibly attractive bid that I think will be rewarded with the opportunity to host the games.
Fraser, you mentioned we're about 95% done with this questionnaire. Do you get extra points for turning in your paper first?
Well, this is the way I was wired in school. I always wanted to be done first. But our strategy here is to be ahead of the process, that they know they can count on us as a real bid, and that will play very strongly in our favor.
Makes perfect sense. Fraser, don't forget to put your name at the top when you turn your paper in, okay?
Okay.
Pleasure talking with you. Fraser Bullock, President and CEO of the Salt Lake City, Utah Committee for the Game.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.